Our next guest, folks, is a rare treasure. I've been reading her articles for over a year. She accompanied us last year where we took the day of 9/11 and we did a tour through Manhattan, beginning at the New York Times, going to NBC, Fox, CBS, CNN, over to the United Nations, and then back to St. Mark's Church, and she graced us with her power and her passion. Donna Marsh O'Connor lost her pregnant daughter, Vanessa Lang Langer, who was on the 93rd floor of Tower 2, who was told, stay at your desk, everything's safe. We so appreciate her coming to share with us on this historic fifth anniversary of the loss that she personally suffered, as well as the profound loss we have all suffered as a result of the mega crime of the century. She's written very moving articles on the crimes of the Bush-Cheney syndicate and the rest of the, what she calls, Mayberry Machiavellis, who have created a state of chaos and instability to push their agenda of world dominance, their vision of Pax Americana, including the deaths of 3,000 people on 9/11. As I'm sure you'll hear, she pulls no punches in getting to the core of the crime, who is and what is implicated by that crime. She's one of us, folks. Out of her love for our republic and for the noble principles on which it stands, she's a warrior for 9/11 truth. Please welcome Donna Marsh O'Connor.
Thanks, Les. How many of you are here for 9/11 truth? Do you wish you could get 9/11 truth? You have it. You have it. The facts of that day are so profoundly simple. I mean, I'm embarrassed by Les's remarks. Last year when I spoke for this movement, I already had it. And I kept asking for it. I kept saying, I need it. I need it. I am so skeptical of stories that when I found out that this year Les wanted me to speak in the story realm, I thought, oh, you know, I looked at that video that was posted on YouTube from a year ago, 2 days ago, and said, I can't do that. That I wish I hadn't dropped so many F-bombs. It didn't seem civilized. It's not George Bush. It's Dick Cheney. It's Dick Cheney number one, or Karl Rove number one. I don't know, I get those two mixed up. And George Bush has the rhetorical, identical DNA as Dan Quayle. Dick Cheney was the Secretary of Defense when George Herbert Walker Bush was the president. I heard about an assassination attempt on George Herbert Walker Bush that may have failed because Karl Rove and Dick Cheney didn't have their ducks in a row at that point in time. I'm sorry, that's a guess, that's a theory. But I am not a theorist on 9/11. I'm a mother, and I lost my kid. She was in Tower 2 of the World Trade Center. And when 5 minutes after the first plane hit Tower 1, she called the uptown office to say they were told to stay at their desks. I pieced together, thanks to Paul Thompson's timeline, that is roughly the time George W. Bush walked into that school. These are the facts. On August 6th, there was a presidential briefing that crossed his desk. It's so simple. It crossed his desk. An airline our entire airline system came to a halt when those planes began hitting buildings. The Port Authority police didn't know. The first responders didn't know. The 343 firemen who went into the building to die didn't know. The ones who came out maimed and wounded didn't know. But George W. Bush had a presidential daily briefing on August 6th. He knew. His Situation Room advisor was in the motorcade with him as he went in to read to children. I'm in a church right now. And whenever I'm in a church, because it's so unusual for me to be in a church, unless I'm speaking to people who, according to Ann Coulter, are godless, I always say, I don't believe in God. I know God. And I know that God didn't commit the acts of 9/11. I had a rabbi tell me, you shouldn't blame George W. Bush. You should blame God. And I thought, do you go to church? You've got to be kidding me. Men did this. Men did this. And I found myself praying before the 2004 election, please, God, don't. Just please, God, don't. And it happened. George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, Karl Rove, Scooter Libby. I mean, he's got more power indicted than any of us in this room, right? So I stopped asking God for the truth because I need to take the burden off of God. It's not God's problem to give us the truth. We went and started a Gulf War twice. And God came and said, here's a hurricane. We had ample warning that a hurricane was going to hit the Gulf states. Pay attention to language. We had engineers. The Army Corps of Engineers knew the levees wouldn't hold. And we had a Democratic governor in Louisiana. That is so handy. That's so handy. Just say evacuate. Did anybody notice we haven't been talking about bird flu anymore? Is anybody afraid in this room of bird flu? Why don't we talk about bird flu anymore? Because when George W. Bush, the one who we pretend constructed this entire plan, I don't really think so, when he was congratulating the president, referring to himself in the third person, and patting himself on the back for sending FEMA in a day early, a lot of good they did, George W. Bush slipped and said, if only you would give me more power, if only you would let me mobilize the National Guard, then we wouldn't have to worry about bird flu. And I thought, that is the one lucky thing God has controlled. He gave us language, underbetting everything we say. And George W. Bush can't help but put his foot in his mouth. And he got the National Guard mobilized on our soil because we have to worry about border control. And once he had that power, we don't talk about bird flu anymore. Hello, Dick Cheney, if they put this video on the internet, you'll start talking about bird flu again. I'm not worried about bird flu. There's an election coming up. And I pray, stupid, I hope that each and every one of you knows that God is not going to help you do what you won't do for yourself. If there are Republican majority in the House and the Senate after November, you didn't do your job, and I didn't do my job. I don't need 9/11 truth. I have 9/11 truth. This person, this personal story, my daughter, my baby, and I still remember being told it's a girl. Two sides of a piece of paper for me. The political reality and the personal myth. I don't want you to cry because I'm a 9/11 mother. I want you to understand her story, because we're not safe in this country. And in November, you need not to ask leaders to make you safe, because there are ballistic weapons on this planet that were constructed as weapons of mass destruction. So were guns. What's mass? One, two, hundreds of thousands? How many people got displaced in New Orleans? What do we call mass destruction? You're not safe. Stop asking leaders to make you safe. And when George W. Bush stands up and tells you that any Republican running for office this November is going to make you safe, you say BS. John Kerry's not going to do it. There isn't a person in this country who can do it. Forget safety. We blew that. We blew it with hate. And we have to minimize the hate. And we have to get rid of the people who are going to take the last 5 minutes of her life and make you see one Arab, Saddam Hussein, is the same as Osama bin Laden. They're not. We all let that work in this country because we are embedded in racism. And we've got to get that out of our system. But number one, we have to get control of the House and Senate. And let me be really clear about this, because the mother of Vanessa Lange Langer, I mean, you know, I would love to be at the indictment of George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, Karl Rove, Wolfowitz, Pearl. I mean, I can't even list them anymore because I keep thinking, oh, and I forgot about Condoleezza Rice. I forget about all of them. They just sort of a crime a day. I can't even keep track of the crimes. Thank God I have a friend, Ed, who sends me emails every day with all of the crimes, and I think, oh, I can't handle one more. I can only attend to the big ones. And we've got to get rid of them, because Iraq is the beginning of Iran and Syria and a reconfiguration of the Middle East, and there's one more war that is so oppressive and it is so on us. It is the war on the middle class in this country, and what it meant to be middle class in this country meant that at some point in your life, you could afford to go or send your children to college. That's not even the case anymore. Why isn't that the case anymore? Why cut student loans? Why cut student funding? Because they need boots on the ground. They need those boots. They need our children. They need our future. They need every ounce of the middle class. And they've taken it. And unless we take back the House and the Senate and forget dumb ideas like some men or some women are going to keep us safe, we're going to have the same old thing. And let me also say that I don't know what happened to the liberals in this country. I don't know when that became a dirty word or why. I don't know how we, I mean, there aren't that many people in this room relative to how many people were affected by this. My daughter's death, along with, it isn't even 3,000 people. I mean, come on, if there's 18 people in the middle, those are 18 souls we've just infused into the debate to make it simple. It's not simple. But Dick Cheney made one mistake that day. My daughter was on the phone to the Uptown office. She was one of only 283 bodies that were taken out of that pit whole and intact. She wasn't crushed. She didn't burn. She was killed by the falling debris. Thanks to a fireman, I was told that the place they identified as the part they picked her up was 10 feet from an alley. 10 feet from an alley, that 5 minutes is everything. And every single one of us in this room is as safe, if we believe in authority at this point, as my daughter was when she followed the orders of Port Authority that day. She was as safe as anyone in this room who tries to be a good, decent citizen and not be subversive. Let's be clear about this. George W. Bush is not a Republican conservative. He impostured in that party. And I am really proud to say he couldn't fit in my party. There isn't a costume on earth that would allow him to get in the front door. So I am begging you, I know it's very few people in this room, you already know the truth, and you're right. Forget about planes that disappeared. I don't even want, I am happy to have Stephen Jones talk about free fall in Tower 7, but I'm not a physics expert. I only know this. I don't know where NORAD was. I don't know where he was, the big he. What was Dick Cheney doing that morning? I know what he was doing that morning. He was beginning his reconfiguration of the world order. And my kid died for that. And I'm not gonna stop saying that. And I'm not gonna drop any more F-bombs because I don't like F-bombs. They're like all other bombs. He did it. He did it and I know it. And you know it. So on Monday, when CNN runs the live broadcast of that morning, think about this. 5 minutes after that first plane hit, I had all the evidence I needed. When I taught for 22 years writing and rhetoric at Syracuse University, I never taught my students about facts. I often taught them to investigate theories. I never, ever said anything but pose questions. I don't want the truth, I have it. But damn it, I want somebody to ask them the questions. Someone in a suit, in a congressional office, ask the questions. And one more piece of good news. I don't think there is that much good news. I'm sorry, I really don't. I wish, and I'll tell you, I'm mobilized, get out and do whatever you can. Phone everyone and say this. Exit polls are not a function of the media for one network to scoop the other. Exit polls were a checks and balance system on secret elections. If the exit polls don't match the results of the election, don't you dare believe there are red states. There are no red states left. And we need to be telling CNN and ABC and NBC that we know that, that we know we're in power. The majority is on to Dick Cheney. Thank you.